This is actually a follow-up interview because if you recall at Croc Rock, wonderful Croc Rock, I talked to Max and Alex for that Against Me Screaming Females show.
There's pictures of that.
So yes. So welcome back to the area. And since we last spoke, you guys put out a new full length about 10 months ago or so. The Distance Is So Big, in stores now. It's been described by the band as a happy breakup record. Does that statement and the lyrics indicate that you guys are in a happy place? I hope.
I would say so. I mean, yeah, the album is definitely a breakup album, but it's like an optimistic. It's not like a sad, like I don't think any of the songs are like about being upset about breaking up. It was like, oh, I'm like moving forward, like this is a good change in my life kind of thing. That's what I would, how I would describe it. Very optimistic.
Yeah, definitely the major theme of it would be that, except the one song that I wrote is not very happy, but the one song I wrote lyrically is not very happy, but it's not a breakup song either, so. But I think it's pretty optimistic, more optimistic than our last record.
Well, speaking of that last record, sort of, this is the second time in a row you've worked with Jay Robbins. With that familiarity that you now have, did you just try to replicate the good experience of Pebble or use that to take some different chances and different approaches in the studio?
We've been with Jay three times now. We did the Pebble with him, and then we did a Record Store Day 7-inch with him that was in between this and Distance Is So Big. And every experience was awesome. So like, and when we heard you actually bought a new studio, he had like this crazy new space, used to be called Oz Studios. And we're like, well, we should go back, because like he was all excited about it, and we were excited about it, and it was actually like, even though it was the same producer, it was like, felt like a different experience. And when you work with somebody, you like kind of learn how to talk with them and like understand where you're coming from. And I think, you know, the more we worked with him, like he knew what we wanted and how to, you know, help us sound the way we wanted to sound.
Still in Baltimore? Fleetwood Mac's Tusk was named as the inspiration for Pebble. Was there an album that really inspired or was the unofficial whatever for this?
I don't know if there was any specific albums that were like, can you think of something, Max? There were images and words that we used. We had like, Max had coordinated a bunch of images that were like our computer screen, like that we had made our demos on, like just kind of like the wallpaper. It was a bunch of different like pictures of coyotes and stars and Star Trek and stuff. Yeah, but we were trying to have something that kind of sounded like it was like Southwestern, nighttime, celestial, lone star, I don't know, kind of.
Which I don't think like comes out in the music at all.
I think it does.
It does for us, because we had these images going through our brains, you know. But like, if you listen to it, you would never think like, oh, Southwestern or like Starry Night or in the desert, like. Yeah.
Right, this one's for you, Max. So you can answer in that position. That's cool too. But now that you've settled in to become the guy on bass. In what capacity were you able to contribute to the songwriting process? And had that grown since the Record Store Day, Varum Allure, I believe?
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, musically, we all kind of have a role now. I'm involved. To varying degrees, I guess, depending on the song. There's some songs that, I feel like we write in a variety of different ways. Like sometimes one of us has come in with a complete song kind of like ready to go. I've only done that once, I think, on a song that we didn't use for anything. It wasn't very good.
It was a great song.
But like, you know, like Alex and I have sat down and like come up with like drum and bass parts, or actually we've like kind of worked out some stuff together too, like, or like, you know, we'll all together like go in and each come up with individual parts and just kind of like throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. So yeah, I definitely feel like I have a role in it now. It's pretty cool. I tend to stay out of a lot of the vocal stuff at this point, but I don't know, that may change.
But not the background vocal stuff. You're right there. So
yeah, I do some of that.
Now, with the spread out nature of the band, speaking of the songwriting process, everyone in different cities all across the country, do you guys write separately and then just send it back and forth through the internet, or do you just get together and hope that you can come up with stuff?
I would say we do both. I mean, like, we just actually were hanging out in a garage for a few days, and we kind of came up with like 5 new songs. Like a few were songs like Sheena had riffs for, and like a couple that we had heard that she had like sent us like little videos of playing, so we were kind of familiar with. But for the most part, we just like got together and constructed them then. But yeah, then a lot of times like we'll just send like, you know, photo booth like videos and back and forth. And
it's really been like all different kinds of ways to write songs lately. Like I feel like before, when we first started, it was very, songs were a lot more like, you know, Alex would have like an entire song written where it'd be guitar, bass, and drums, you know, and I'd learn how to play it, or like I'd write the whole song on guitar. It was more like we had whole pieces, but I think now we have 3 different people writing different parts, and we kind of just somehow make it go together. But yeah, it's like we're not like opposed to trying any new method now, so.
As an objective outsider, they do go together. It's good. All right, so inspired by your Scienceless music video, if the world is about to come to an end, is that how you want to go out? Just playing some songs, hanging out with friends?
Yeah, definitely. I would say so.
I would definitely like to hang out with Scout, the 3-legged dog that was a part of that video at the end of the world, and eat that cake that we got to eat. That was really good cake.
Yeah. The alien cake.
Any other videos or singles planned for the album? Or
we did one for Oahu, Hawaii. It came out actually on like an Australian media source, so like I don't know how much.
I did see it.
You did? Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So because it was like kind of promoting that tour, and we have one like for Brilliant Dancer. It hasn't come out yet, but that'll probably come out soon.
So our friend did it. It's a fun one.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm curious about the album cover itself. It looks like a multicolored collection of either bubbles, balloons, or like a jellyfish or something. I don't know. Anything? Oh, okay.
Well, you're responsible.
Sort of. Yeah, well, it started out as a photograph.
You're like the collaborator.
Yeah. It started as a photograph, and then it kind of just became a collage after that. I mean, I guess...
Let me explain your...
Yeah, do that.
All right. Max over there. our friend Nicole Kibbert, she's like a photographer from Florida. She sent us these pictures of like underwater bubbles that were like really, like you could hardly tell what they were, but they were like really beautiful. Almost looked like chandeliers, you know, like. And then Max took one of those images and like colored it in. And it looked, we kind of wanted the colors to be like uplifting and not grim and look like an explosion of, you know, because I think the album has a lot of like imagery, like with like colors and Aurora Borealis and things like that. And we wanted it to be like an album that was very pastel.
So you just completed an Australian tour. What's the one highlight each of you will keep with you the rest of your life from it, if any?
Well, we got to do a lot of like beach things, and one of the most like beautiful beaches that we went to was Byron Bay, it was called, or Bryan Bay, Byron Bay, I believe. Yeah, it was like one of the last days that we were there, but it was just this like unbelievably beautiful, picturesque, you know, little bay area, and nobody was there, and. We got to do a little hiking, saw a little stuff. It was cool.
probably any band that goes to Australia will stop and hold a koala at some point, and that was definitely the highlight for me.
I think driving ended up being really cool. I mean, the beaches were amazing, but I think I was just kind of hit with multiple moments of being like, holy shit, I'm in Australia. Like, just driving, like, seeing the different terrain, kind of like, you know, driving through these valleys where you'd see like families of kangaroos like bouncing off in the distance and like all sorts of wildlife and road signs that have koalas on them, like watch out for like wild koalas. But yeah, that was probably my highlight.
Can I also add to my highlight? Australia has a lot of big things. And one of their big things is that they have like these gigantic statues of things. So they have like the big banana, the giant koala. We saw a like merino wool, like a big ram, the big merino. We saw, what else did we see that was big?
I remember those things.
I felt like there was something else that we saw that was really big, but anyways, they just like big shit.
And none of you mentioned Vegemite. Wow, I'm shocked. So it's been said that the excuse to travel is one of the big reasons that the band exists. Where else is on the list to go?
Well, I was happy to be in Southeast Asia when we went this last time, but I was really upset because we didn't get to go to Japan, because Japan is on my list of places to go.
We've never been to South America or Latin America area or anything like that. So like we've been to Puerto Rico, but that's it. But there's so much to travel down there, and that would be really a dream come true.
Again, we covered it too.
Yeah, places everywhere else that we haven't been.
Hawaii?
Yeah, we haven't been to Hawaii yet.
So, Alex, I heard your appearance on Jared's podcast from the Screaming Females. So when are you bringing a podcast to Buffalo?
Bring, like, what kind of podcast?
I don't know. You've got musician friends that would be great podcasts.
Oh, there, my label, Art of the Underground, used to have a podcast, but I didn't host it. This guy, Derek Newland, hosted it. He's this guy who comes on the road with us sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if I could keep people's attention with like an interesting podcast. I don't know what I would talk to them about.
You're too busy for a podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have time. I'd be like fixing somebody's toilet while like like running a podcast or relighting a pilot light in the basement or something. I don't know.
You just record yourself on the road driving, just talking to yourself. Yeah. Like, just to stay awake.
You ever watch Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah. Like the Jack from them. I just like talking while I'm driving a big semi or something.
That'd be awesome.
Giant monster stick hanging out with the back of the truck.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of Art of the Underground, any cool releases to look forward to?
Actually, it's kind of been on the back burner because Lemuria has been so busy, so still doing the single series, but haven't really been doing like full lengths because putting out like an album for a band is like marrying a band. You know, if they never break up, you're always a part of their life, you know, so just trying to slim down responsibilities. But I love doing it. It's just expensive and very time consuming.
All right, so Sheena, since you're a wizard in the kitchen, any recipes that you're really excited about that you just cracked and whatever? Or
well, I bake. I don't really cook, but the things that I do cook that I've been really into lately are. I finally perfected the tofu noodle soup, like a chicken noodle soup, but vegetarian friendly. And I make pretty good mac and cheese.
The best mac and cheese.
Those are the only two things that I cook, essentially. But baking, huh? I don't have anything that I've cracked lately, but there's something that I do now have the desire to enter in trying to crack, which is the cannoli. I gotta figure it out. But yeah. Alex makes really good stuff too. Why don't you talk about it, Alex?
I don't make anything.
Lemuria's sexy pudding.
I make this pudding and Sheena thinks it's a sexy pudding. It's just,
I'm sorry.
No. It's like
he makes it for his girlfriends.
Aww.
That's not true. Like 10 years ago, I made a pudding that had strawberries in the shape of a heart, and it was like Valentine's Day.
That sounds really sexy, though.
If anyone would like us to make them Lemuria sexy pudding,
we'll mail it to you in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
I could make it again. I'll make it for my current girlfriend.
I haven't had make it for me, but I've had it before.
I've never had it.
We are getting deeper than I expected here, but I'll let you guys work that out in a few minutes. So since the band technically formed in, what, 2004? This is 10 years now.
Yeah.
How are you going to make it special?
I don't think we want to bring any attention to it, really. No, I'm just kidding. Because it just makes us feel really old. But I don't know. I feel like the band is kind of just getting started. Because, like, the first, like, 5 or 6 years, the band was, like, we were just kind of learning how to be a band. You know, like, there was just, like, a lot of, like, I mean, we sounded bad. You know, like, I mean, I thought we sounded bad, but it was, like, I don't know. I feel like we're finally just kind of like, wow, we figured this out. This is fun. Like,
starting to like feel confident playing our instruments too. I mean, like, we didn't know what we were doing when we started Lemuria.
Yeah.
Now we got style. You know, whatever. Like,
Max is teaching us how to be real.
Yeah.
I taught him everything they knew. No.
All right. So you guys have covered "From Your Girl" by the Muffs. Thanks, YouTube. Any other covers up your sleeves?
There's possibly like a Guided by Voices cover we might do, but that's the only thing we've really worked on at all. I don't know. We haven't really thought about it. We've talked about, like, oh, we listen to things in the car. I'm like, oh, we should cover it. But we never do.
We're trying to decide on the proper stick song.
Yeah. We did an Elvis Costello song once live in New York City, and Ted Leto sang it.
We did a Magnetic Field song for a little while.
Yeah, too. We did like 3 or 4 shows. We did Magnetic Fields.
I mean, you only get so much time when you play, you know, that like, it. We just have like, we probably have like, what, 100 songs now? Like, it's just like hard to even remember our own songs. And then like, well, for me, I speak alone because they have always remember everything. But it's just too hard to remember. Brain can't handle learning somebody else's song, too. But maybe one day. We talked about doing a Leatherface cover for a little while.
We've talked about doing, like, covers of everything. We even said something today. I don't even remember what it was. Like, we should cover this song.
It was Styx.
With Leatherface, anything off Mush, you'll probably be okay. All right, so you guys are going on tour with the Menzingers this summer.
Yep.
Any other cool things to look forward to for the rest of the year, touring, recording, whatever that you can announce?
The Menzingers tour will be awesome, and Pup and Cayetana are really awesome as well. So we're excited about like the whole lineup. And right now we're just like writing new stuff and trying to be really productive, you know.
Yeah, we're working on some dates for it right after that tour. That should be coming together pretty soon. And then, yeah, not quite sure what's going on after that, but the stuff that we're writing now is not for anything like definite or in particular. Like, we're just kind of writing for the sake of writing, and something will maybe happen with it eventually.
So people can just stay tuned to LemuriaPop.com for tour dates and releases and all that other news. Okay. So I always end interviews with the Desert Island question. Now, I went back and listened to the interview, and Max, you said Superchunk, here's to shutting up. If you want to, do you stand by that?
The one album on the Desert Island, Rest of My Life? Yeah, that's not a bad choice. Yeah, I could live with that.
Okay, I'll stick with it.
I'll stick with it. Why not?
All right, Alex, I'll test you. What do you think you said? This was 2 years ago.
Did I say Tom Waits' Rain Dogs?
No, but that is a good one, but no. This is a big one. This volume is...
Oh, is that Magnetic Field 69 Love Songs?
Yes.
There you go.
Stand by it?
Yeah, well, either of those, but I mean, I get 69 songs instead of like 19.
Sure.
So.
He's a value man.
Yeah.
He's a value man.
Smart.
Yeah, 3 discs.
All right. So it comes to you, Sheena. You've had time to think about it now.
An album to be stuck with. Well, I feel like I used to listen to Heart a lot when maybe just a couple years ago, and then I kind of haven't had the chance to really listen to my records in a couple years. That sounds crazy, but I listened to that album the other day and remembered how magical it was. So I would like to say Little Queen by Heart.
Well, those are all of my questions. Thank you for coming to Allentown, Muhlenberg, whatever, again, and for putting up with my questions.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, totally. Cool.
Thank you.